A beacon shining in the night, sometimes obscured by a shadow, reinforced by a wall of ice, always protected by a podcast overlord.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Cammy?
Cammy? Flash?
Oh, you are there.
I am here.
Okay, so it's not you that's missing.
Whew. Who's missing?
I don't know. That's what this episode
Everybody.
Is all about, isn't it?
Everybody on Team Arrow's missing.
Oh, welcome Arrow Squad to Season 5, Episode 22, titled Missing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, we have a tiny bit of news before we dive into it.
We interrupt this podcast for a special report.
There has been an announcement that Arrow is changing nights next season. They're moving to Thursday.
Yeah, this is the first time Arrow will be on Thursday.
Yeah. Bit strange. I don't know why. Yeah. There was nothing really related or stated why. But what's that mean for us, Cammy?
Well, it means that we'll likely be recording on Friday nights then, and we will have the podcast released, you know, either late Friday night or early Saturday, something like that. So, our good Flash here also records for Legends, so he'll juggle around that schedule as well. So we'll get you the official word on when it'll come out later, but that's I think what we expect to do.
Yeah, and as for feedback deadlines, instead of being Thursday night, it'll extend to Friday night. It's basically a 24-hour turnaround, just as it is now.
Sure.
So once we figure it all out, we'll let you guys know before the season kicks off, for sure.
Yep, but most things will probably stay the same, just shifted forward a day.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Well, so,
Flash,
yes.
We're almost done with season 5.
Oh my god.
Do you feel that like end of the season vibe?
Holy cow, especially after this episode. I am totally feeling it, and I'm excited and happy but also sad. I don't want the season to end yet.
Yeah, I agree. It feels like it's getting so good that you just want it to continue, which I know is exactly the vibe they want for the end of the season, but it's like, oh, there has to be more than one more episode.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right there. To be ending a season with this excitement, a level of excitement and hope for the show is just great, because that means there'll be a lot of buildup for season 6.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And we know that they'll have a season 6 and, you know, based on ratings and how the CW does renewals, I think that they would be able to continue to get renewals for a season beyond that as well. So we've still got a while to go.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's talk about tonight's or last night's episode.
You would like me to start then? Is that...
Yeah, I want to know your ratings. I want to know what you thought about it.
I love this episode. I absolutely loved it. I gave it a 9 massive reunion scales because, wow, did they bring everybody back. Holy cow.
Right?
I mean, we'll get to all of that, but they brought some of our favorite characters. I mean, Nyssa came back and Slade came back at the very end, which was a shock because we all totally bit on the rumors that there's a huge feud going on and he's never coming back to Arrow again. And wow, did we bite on that misdirection. You know, and we could tell Talia was there. She was hidden in a mask, but we knew she was there. And it was great. I mean, if I could describe this episode, this truly was a build-up episode. It was exciting, it had a lot in it, but it was definitely building up to a massive finale, and it really has me just chomping at the bit for next week. Like, the Wednesday can't come soon enough now.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely a build-up episode. I found this episode so hard to rate, to pick a number. what I actually ended up going with was a 7.75 out of 10.
Okay.
But it felt like, you know, when you have to do group projects in school and not everybody really should get the same grade, but everybody gets the same grade. That's what it felt like rating this episode, because there were just so many pieces going on. There were so many players. There were so many amazing moments, you know, that sort of paid homage to Oliver's full journey. You know, there was a good emotional face-off with Prometheus, some good team moments. But just because there were so many new people and we had suddenly, you know, three new villains, three new team members slash former villains, inevitably you would have some lows. And so it felt weird for me to rate some points that I felt like were missteps with some of the sort of shining moments. So I would say any scene in this episode, I could easily label it either a 9 out of 10 or a 3 out of 10. But if I have to average it out, it would go to like a 7.75.
I kind of see where you're coming from, but I think what I liked about all the people they brought back is they were all the big famous, or I should say more popular guys. I mean, Slade and Malcolm and Nyssa.
Slade,
and
oh my God.
Like these were the big names that people absolutely loved or loved to hate. And they didn't bring back side characters or minor characters. They brought all the big heavy hitters back. And I just think that makes it very exciting. It leads to such a big finale, and to have all of these characters on screen together, it's going to be exciting. I mean, what is Slade's role going to be? What, you know, Merlin and Nyssa having to work together, Nyssa having to face her sister, like it, God, the tension is peaking.
It sort of leaves you wondering who's going to turn on who, of course.
Right. Yeah. It won't flow smooth as silk. There's no way.
Yeah. But I mean, it's good though, because it leaves us with a lot to theorize about and a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. There were some lower moments, or maybe, you know, some storylines I didn't care about as much, especially in contrast to how high energy this episode needed to be with so much going on. But overall, most like the good moments were very, very good. Which leads us into what our favorite moments were from this episode. So I'll let you start that off as well.
Well, you know, I actually had two, because two of my favorites came back. So I'm going to kick it off with one, and then we'll let you throw yours in, and then I'll end it with one. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect.
I just couldn't pick. I just could not pick. So the very first one, of course, everybody knows that I love me some Nyssa. So the moment she walked out of that elevator, and you heard her voice and her accent and the snide, oh, Malcolm, just, I was like, that's it. I love it. I was just smiling. So here's a bit of a clip from that moment.
If I wasn't such a confident individual, my ego might be bruised.
Malcolm, your ego is what I'm going to need you to keep in check.
Why? Who did you reach out to?
Husband? Mr. Merlin, I assume you still have no title.
No,
Malcolm.
I will not work with her.
I told you.
I'd sooner slice her throat.
Try to, you mean.
Malcolm, you said you were going to do whatever it takes to get Thea back. So? Here we are!
Fine. But does she know?
Know what, Mr. Merlin?
One of the people we are up against is your sister.
Yes, I wanted to explain it to you in person.
I love it.
So good. Oh, so good.
God, her voice. You know, she could read me bedtime stories anytime. That'd be just fine.
I agree. Sign me up for that as well.
Yes. So there you go. That was one of the best, because we haven't seen her in quite a while. What about you?
It was pretty hard to pick a favorite scene from this as well. But I went ahead and picked the scene where Oliver tells Diggle and Felicity that they have to split up because they're going to be Prometheus's next targets, and they're sort of his weaknesses, and he can't have distractions around it. And in the end, of course, this didn't end up being a plan that worked, but Diggle and Felicity had their misgivings at the time, but it was just so nice to see that moment where they had to acknowledge that they are like family. They are each other's final line of, you know, weaknesses. That's who Prometheus would obviously target if he was trying to get to Oliver's. It was a good sort of tense emotional moment, and they all depart ways. It was pretty cool. I like that scene.
Cool. Well, I liked it too. It just, like you said, it showed our trio, and there's so much history between the three of them, and this really was culminating their relationship with each other, and also at the same time really showing us that the three of them are back. They have seemingly fixed their differences and know that they have to work together. It's the three of them to the end kind of feeling, and that's what I got out of this scene. And I got something for you from that moment. Here we go.
Fabulous.
You two have to leave the city.
What?
You gotta leave the city, you gotta leave the state, and you can't tell me where you're going.
Oliver, we're not leaving. We're not going anywhere. We're not abandoning you.
I understand that you're not abandoning me. You're doing what I'm asking you to do, because Chase knows how I think. He knows that if he puts the two of you in danger, and he's gonna try to, that my instinct will be to pull you close.
So do something he's not expecting. Split up.
No, let's... What about you?
If I don't have to worry about the two of you, then I can put my focus towards finding the others.
You get this done with Big Oliver.
I will.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah. It's so cool. You mentioned their history. I actually had to go back today to get some screenshots from season one for something. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in the season one finale, there's like a cool scene of the three of them together in the cave right before everything goes down. And it was, they look so different, you know, because they've aged in the last 5 years and they all dress differently and wear different suits. And it was so odd to like see that history and that comparison from them then to them present day now. So it's pretty cool.
That would make a great cover photo if you could splice the two pictures together side by side. That would be kind of fun to see.
Yeah. I already have the cover photo for this week's, but for next week, maybe I can do something fun showing a little bit of season finales across the four.
Sure.
Four previous seasons plus this.
Yeah,
sounds like good. I'll get artsy. We'll see.
Finish with a bang. Why not? Let's go.
Yeah.
Go out on a high. All right. Well, I have one extra scene here because I just loved it. I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm just going to let the music kick it off, and I'm sure everyone will recognize this scene because I'm sure everybody leapt off of their couches just as high as I did.
I need your help.
Hey, kid. I'm glad you came back.
Oh, man. Just the hair on the back of my neck. I was just...
So wild, right? Oh. We were definitely sort of left hanging through by many different threads on this as to whether or not he'd come back. You know, we were intentionally told many different things. So it was so wild.
It was a fantastic surprise. And it even left us hanging. What is Slade actually going to work with him? I mean, for Oliver to come back and say, I need your help. And right. there's just that touch of... I don't know what you would call it, but that touch of love, possibly in the weirdest way, when he's like, hey, kid, glad you came back. Like, there's something between them. Despite all the nastiness, there's still something. They had a connection when they were on the island together. So
they used to be like brothers, right, on the island.
Yeah. So what is Slade going to do? What's the deal he's going to make? Can you imagine Slade taken on Prometheus? Like, this is going to be crazy. What are they going to do? We only have 42 minutes. This has to be like a 2-hour finale or something.
so wild.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's I'm envisioning possibly Slade wouldn't want anybody but him targeting Oliver. And that, I imagine, could be a motivation for him going up against Prometheus.
And what kind of cliffhanger are they going to leave us it with, right? Like,
I definitely think there'll be a present-day cliffhanger, just not a flashback cliffhanger.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, we are in present-day, so is it going to have to do with Slade? Is it going to have to do with Talia and Nyssa? What is the cliffhanger going to be wrapped around? God, there's so much going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of villains to go around going into season 6. So even if, you know, Prometheus is eliminated, Slade leaves, Merlin, you know, I have some theories about what will happen to him. Going forward into season 6, I think they've hinted at who may still be around. There's still Vigilante to deal with. There'll still be some other smaller players around. So, yeah, still a lot.
Totally. All right, well, let's kick it off. We got, as always, some pre-show feedback from our friend Erin, and she had some pretty cool things to say. Why don't you hit a few of the beginning points, and then I'll end it with her one. She's got a good few lines about Chase.
Well, Erin came in with some helpful fact-checking for us. She let us know that Dinah has worn her mask before. She thinks the first time that might have been in the episode where Cupid showed up. And they had that fight in the graveyard, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When she was on the roof. I think I used that picture as like our cover photo for that week, but I just forgot.
Yeah. We just maybe didn't get a good look at it, so not a nice close-up look.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thanks.
So, yeah, she also is excited that they're bringing in Nyssa to defeat Talia. She liked the scene with Anatoly, and she also had some great comments about Destiny's response. Destiny, as you'll remember last week, had some really good, insightful feedback about, you know, what was going on with Felicity's storyline, the wheelchair storyline.
Some heartfelt feedback, yeah.
Yeah, and coming from such an informed place on the topic, too. And Erin just had some comments here thanking Destiny for those words, that the gray areas there definitely make for interesting plots. And she also mentioned in response to some other feedback we got last week that Curtis and Felicity are similar, but they don't necessarily have the same connection to Oliver. So in that, there are some important differences. She says Curtis would not have the same luck keeping Oliver sane.
Good point.
And she had some good words about what makes Chase an intriguing bad guy is that his plans have changed our characters. The characters are played with by him, I guess. None of the characters, she says, have been handicapped in their ability to make his plans work, unlike Damian Dark, where the team did stupid things which only helped him, like putting the idol together. Yet the events in his story still work. There's been consequences for his actions, unlike Merlin, who gets away with so much it's ridiculous at this point, Erin says. Yet there have been some suspend belief moments for him, like when he turned creepy with Susan the second he was outed in the video, etc. But 95% of his stuff, she says, has been well done overall, and it's made it a lot of fun to watch. Is he the best villain on the series? We'll see, but he has been a good one, she says.
Well, I'm glad she's kind of feeling the same as us on that point, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, Erin, for that, as always, and I still am going to respond to your Legends feedback, don't worry. It might be once Arrow is done. I'll have a bit of time. I'll use our normal allotted recording time to actually email you back.
And we do love getting pre-show feedback. So if you have any final thoughts that you want to get to us before next week's episode, any final theories you want to share with us, you're welcome to do so.
Yes, as is anybody. All right, so diving into our story points, what are we going to start with first? How about Prometheus taking so many members of Team Arrow?
Yeah.
One by one.
That missing thing seems like a good place to start.
Yeah.
Is there any particular one that Prometheus has taken that we want to start with?
Nah, just kick it off wherever you want to start.
All right. I'm going to start with one that I'm just kind of curious to hear your thoughts on.
Okay.
And that's the fact that Prometheus has taken William. What do you think about that? That was the big final piece in this episode.
Yeah, it kind of came late, didn't it? I mean, there was some talk. Oliver had expressed that he was worried. And,
right.
You know, he was... Was it Felicity that was trying to reassure him? Like, no, don't worry. He's okay. Nobody can find him.
Right. Well, Felicity couldn't find him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We knew Prometheus has him. We just didn't see how or what. And, you know, and then we saw that video phone call. You couldn't tell where William was. He was just, you know, asking for help and please don't hurt me kind of thing. Right. So I think that just invoked a state of panic or fear in Oliver. Maybe Prometheus was kind of going for him to lose control of his judgment and his decision-making and mm-hmm. start making mistakes kind of thing. That's what I feel like Prometheus was going for with that.
Yeah.
Would he go as far as to hurt William or even kill him? I don't know. I don't know if Prometheus would, if that's the line that he won't cross. It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah. I guess Prometheus or Chase did sort of invoke the fact that Oliver involved his wife,
mm-hmm.
which eventually resulted in her dying. So I think that's sort of there as to, you know, because the William thing feels underhanded, of course, you know, and that's what Oliver was saying. And Prometheus was like, well, my wife died. So that, I think, makes sense. I think what kind of threw me for this is that taking William, of course, is simultaneously, you know, sort of shocking because, you know, he's involving a child. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it feels oddly anticlimactic in that, A, we knew that was coming, and B, we don't know William.
Yeah,
like,
that's
we
true.
As the audience.
Yeah, that's true. We have no real attachment to him.
Yeah.
Even, you know what, I even felt disconnected when Oliver was even expressing, he's like, he's my son.
Yeah.
And it's means like, everything
really?
To me. I'm
is
like, how, Oliver? You've only seen him twice in from what we've yeah. seen. So, but I think
Oliver didn't find out about him until season 4. He was in no way involved in the child raising part of it. And I think as far as we know, William doesn't know Oliver is his dad.
No. But at the same time, then again, to find out you actually have a son, I mean, that obviously would flick something on inside you that, what, I have a boy, I have a son? Like, yeah, I'm going to protect him, whatever. Obviously something came on. I just think they kind of missed the mark on expressing to us the connection between the two of them. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But with the other players taken, with the other members of Team Arrow taken, mm-hmm. We also got to see sort of the stakes rise there. So the first ones to go were Dinah and Renee.
Yeah, we never even saw how Renee was taken, but
yeah, we didn't.
We witnessed Dinah this episode, and we witnessed Lance going down, and
right.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of scary actually to see them one by one going down. I mean, the scene that's jumping in my mind right now is how we got Lance was, you know, having Black Siren in there to fool him,
right.
That was one of the scenes I really wanted to talk about, because that when he first came across her and he's thinking it's Laurel, my God, the acting performance on Quentin there was unbelievable. I was really reeling for him and feeling like he was quivering and stuttering and shaken. Like, it was so believable. That deserves an Emmy nomination for that scene that
he did. He does such a great job.
Wow.
The scene also following that, when he's shackled in like the truck or whatever with mm-hmm. Thea, mm-hmm. and Thea's trying to explain to him the multiple worlds thing, and he's just so confused and emotionally distraught.
Yeah.
That's also a lovely scene. I love the dynamic between Thea and Lance, so having that brought back was also really nice, and, you know, sort of a nice nod to the beginning of the season when they formed their own sort of father-daughter bond in a way.
Right. So
that was nice to be brought back. But yeah, Paul Blackmore did a really good job with that.
He did. Well, I even liked when she was trying to explain the multiple Earths and stuff to him, and he's just like, huh, what? I don't get it. And she's like, you know, it's kind of like we have aliens and time travel. And then he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess I could accept that. That was pretty funny that it took those two things to make him realize, oh yeah, we do have all that crazy stuff. So why not believe another Earth too?
Yeah. It's nice having Thea back as well, to have that sort of sounding board of being able to explain those things in a very Arrow-ish way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, she's kind of been like a surrogate daughter in a way to him.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah,
which has been really nice. But I actually thought they were going to drag out the Siren pretending to be Laurel a little bit longer. I didn't think it would be revealed or overcome so quickly. I thought they were going to really try to fool him or something and play that out further.
I think it's, even though it has been revealed, she is still sort of messing with his head, you know, or yeah. Trying to.
Yeah.
The whole, like, her still calling him daddy or dad. It's very uncomfortable to watch, honestly, but she is still trying to play with his head a bit. It's just not in the, like, fully disguised way, but more in just the fact that him visually seeing her, especially when she, you know, calls him dad or whatever, obviously sort of stuns him a bit. Mm-hmm. So that is still continuing to be part of that scheme.
Yeah, yeah. And it was kind of crazy. I mean, were they all, when they all got grabbed and they were all taken to a place in the woods that looked really, really familiar. And I was thinking, doesn't that look like the place where Slade first killed Moira? But that's on the island. There's no way Prometheus would bring them all the way to the island, would he? Like,
that's what I was wondering, is where are they?
That's what I wanted to ask you, because was it Thea that seemed to recognize it? She, why did he bring us here? Like, it seemed like she was the one that knew where they were.
So they could be on the island then, yeah.
That would be crazy if everything culminates on the island, the entire season finale and flashbacks catching up to modern time. Everything is on the island, because Oliver's there too. That's where he is to get Slade out of the prison. So,
right.
I don't know. It's crazy. It looked very familiar, but at the same time, I wasn't thinking that can't be the island. There's no way.
When I wrote it up, I wrote it up as that's where he took them. That in my mind. That seemed to be the most logical location.
Except Thea and Lance were in the back of a truck.
Right.
When they were being taken somewhere. So that can't be the island. They were in the back of a, you know, like a cargo truck. Aero Squad? No,
I mean, they weren't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily cover the full journey. So if they were trying to keep it a surprise, they could easily show them being transported and just not show every transportation method. I don't know.
Well, let's throw it to the squad members. What does everyone think where they are? I'm kind of curious. I'd like to see some answers on that because I'm still a little bit unsure.
Yeah.
Let's see what people say. Well, let's move to a little lighter scene because the episode opened with a kind of a birthday party, which we really haven't seen them get to enjoy moments like this for a while.
Yeah, it was nice. I can't remember if it was you or in one of the, you know, feedbacks that we got. Somebody had mentioned that it's been a while since we've had an Arrow style party.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to see that. It was nice to see an Arrow style party. You know, it's at somebody's.
What is an Arrow style party?
Well, okay, so in Arrow, you know, we do have pretty consistently at least once per season, usually it's in the Queen Mansion, some sort of fancy party, mayoral gala, you know, whatever the case may be. And this season, most of them have been always, you know, at the mayor's office or at City Hall.
That's true.
And we haven't been at the Queen Mansion for quite a while. Oh God, and this obviously seasons. Was right. So this was not at the Queen Mansion, but it was in a house. And so it did have a bit more of a family feel to it. And that was really nice.
Yeah. No, there wasn't a bunch of nobodies in the background or anything. It was just right. our core group. I mean, come on. It was so funny the way it opened up with Oliver coming home and Curtis jumps out to surprise him and he just gets taken down.
It was adorable.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
the cake was a cute shout out as well. They said that the cake was designed by Lord Mesa Bakery, and that's because the art on the cake was designed by a fan artist named Lord Mesa, who does a lot of Arrow and Flash fan art.
Well, that was pretty cool.
A lot of the other shows as well.
That Lord Mesa must have, or Mesa, however you say it, must have been pretty excited to see that.
Yeah. It was very cute. It was also very cute, the moment as the team's all making sure Oliver and Felicity have a chance to talk, you know, because the episode opens in this sort of, like, limbo where Oliver doesn't know if he's with Felicity or not, and Thea's like, you should figure that out.
Well, I like that. It's going to be kind of a slow one step at a time for them to kind of figure it out. And they're not going to just jump right back into things. So that's kind of nice. It's making me feel okay. I mean, fans seem to be, there's a 50-50 split on the Olicity thing. So I like them taking it a little bit slow and not throwing them back together just as our season is ending. It's just nice to see.
It was very calm. It was not like a big dramatic thing. Yeah. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, but it's just that they're not so much that they're even just taking it slow. It's just that they acknowledge there is still feelings and attraction there, and there's things left unfinished between them, and so they're gonna look into that and explore a little bit. So it's nice. I'm okay with it. I know good old podcast overlord out there is probably just squeeing like crazy. He's happy as can be.
Well, I'm quite happy as well.
Yeah.
Part of, I mentioned that I had to go back and look through screen caps from previous episodes. Mm-hmm. And part of, one of the things I found is for the very last scene, the final scene, for the past seasons, all but season one, the final scene has always involved like a moment, quote unquote, between Oliver and Felicity. So we had the moment on the island when they went back there on the coast and they had the whole like, oh, it'd be unthinkable us. And then they have the moment where they're driving off into the sunset. And then, and that was the end of season three. And then end of season four, they have the moment where just the two of them and everybody else has left and they're all staring at the suits, you know, in that final pan that everybody has.
Right.
And so it was really interesting to see that development sort of retroactively and see what they're setting up for in this finale as the promotional pics have come out. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, totally was.
There's so much history there as partners, if nothing else, you know?
Yeah, and that's what this show is really excelling at this year, is really tying everything back to all the history. Like it's making me realize how much has actually happened over the last five seasons.
Yeah.
With these characters. Half and their a decade. It's crazy. We've been through a lot with this team, and I just love that they're tying it all back in, and it's giving a real sense of home and a sense of, I don't know if comfort is the right word, but it just familiarity and this feels good. What doesn't feel good is what Oliver is going through in the flashbacks, being tortured by none other than Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. That was some painful stuff to watch.
Oh my God. Dolph can be scary.
Right?
Like, I would not want to be captured by him and hanging there by my arms. That was freaky. That kind of stuff gives me the chills, and because I often put myself in the shoes of the characters, and what would that be like? And that's just scary. I don't like that that feeling. It was helplessness.
Yeah, the way that the mind games in the flashback sort of echoed the mind games present day was really interesting. On the surface, it feels very on the nose, of course, but that's not a bad thing. But having that sort of, it echoed to me a lot of what Oliver went through when he was trapped in Prometheus's little torture chamber a few episodes ago. Mm-hmm. Did that cross your mind as well?
Maybe a little bit. I think I was really taken back by what that drug that he injected right into his chest, what it was doing to Oliver, like the quick little flashback clips that we saw was just, again, it tying everything back to what's happened over the years. Cause he just, it's like, what is Dolph Lundgren's character's name? Why am I blanking on that?
Oh, starts with a C.
Kovar.
Kovar, yes.
Or K, I would probably imagine. Anyway, Kovar, it seems like he knows a lot about Oliver too, because the things that he kept reminding him of bringing Oliver back, and we're kind of getting to jump into Oliver's mind and seeing what he's seeing. There are some fantastic moments that it got called back to, and it just really sunk in how much Oliver has been through.
Yeah, it's nice to see the flashbacks flashing back on themselves, reminding us of what all they've been through. But because Dolph slash Kovar has become somehow such an all-knowing and strong villain, as flashback villains go, it does make me wonder if he's going to continue on to present day, possibly in season 6. What are your thoughts on that? Do you feel like they're setting up something more for him?
You know, that would be kind of that would be pretty cool, I think. But I don't know. I think bringing Dolph on is probably a little bit of a lot to ask of Arrow as a production. It's kind of the feeling. I think Dolph's, he's not an A-lister, but he's a movie star. I don't know if they could bring him on for that length of time. I have a feeling they're going to bring him to an end. I mean, it's on the island. Oliver has to still be rescued from the island and rescued on his own. So it just makes sense to me that he'll finish him off and Oliver will be left alone on the island in time for his rescue.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
And this is an aesthetic thing, but what do you think about them, like, changing his look? When do you think that will happen? Because the way he looked when he was actually found on the island is a little different than how he looks now.
Yeah. Well, with the beard, the beard and the hood and all. Yeah. Well, he's hopefully that backpack of disguises that Anatoly left him is still around somewhere, so he'll have to obviously grab that. Yeah. And go with it. It's all going to work. The way the writers are doing things, they're tying things in so well right now, I don't think they're going to screw that up either.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's so much going on present day that normally after an episode like this, I would kind of hope that the next episode would be flashback light so that we could deal with everything that's going on present day. But of course, it's, you know, the finale, and there's some important parts of the flashbacks as well that we need brought full circle. So there's so much that they have to go through next week. It feels like there should be a 2-hour finale or something.
Yeah.
But there won't be.
I so totally agree with you, because there is a lot they have to deal with, and how they're going to squeeze it into 42 minutes and not make it feel rushed and unbalanced, I don't know. I'm excited to see what they're going to do, but yeah, there is a lot. And this flashback stuff with Kovar is pretty big, heavy, important stuff. So I can't see them minimalizing it either. I just hope they balance it right.
Yeah, I hope so too. But as you said, they've been paying attention sort of to details in terms of wrapping things up. Excuse me. So that kind of gives us a little bit of faith going forward that they will, you know, tie it together nicely. Yes. And then leave us with a devastating cliffhanger, of course.
that's my go-to phrase right now, is tying it all together. So yeah, we'll see.
Tying it all together and then throwing all the pieces into the wind. Leave us all speculating going into season 6.
Exactly. They got to have us coming back. All right.
Well, speaking of coming back, we had a lot of people come back for this episode.
Holy cow.
I was trying to count them all. Yeah. Okay. So we have Talia and Nisa. We have Black Siren and Evelyn. We had Slade and Merlin. Oh, and who am I forgetting?
I think that's pretty much covers all of them.
And then they all kind of have their, like, person that they're going to need to face off against.
Yeah, like their arch enemy or arch nemesis is all seems to be... Yeah, it's cool. There's a lot of one-on-one stuff that has to be dealt with.
Yeah. So with everybody returning, at the beginning of this season, we used to rank the newbies, like favorites or least favorites. Do you have of these, you know, there's sort of three new people on each side. Do you have any favorites or do you have any least favorites? Any moments you're most excited for? Any face-offs you're most excited for?
Well, you're kind of shouting back to my two favorite scenes at the beginning. So Nyssa and Slade, I think Slade will slightly edge out Nyssa as the return, because we haven't really had him since season two.
Right.
I mean, he had a brief appearance in season three, and that was it. But yeah, I think Slade takes a cake for me. He is, I mean, even just his presence in the last few seconds of this episode still was like, whoa, that is the villain, the character that this show has been missing. I mean, Prometheus has been fantastic, and we've been kind of rivaling him against Slade. But as soon as I saw Slade, I was like, nope, Slade is the man. He's the king of villainy on this show.
Yeah, he always had such a good control of, like, scene presence and everything.
Yeah.
And he makes such a good villain for Oliver.
Yeah. Like, villain and brother. Like, it's like they were siblings that never could get along or something. There's just something so powerful about their story together.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I definitely enjoy their enemy-ish dynamic.
Yeah. Definitely Slade comes first, and then Nyssa right behind him. I mean, this whole... Yeah. I've been looking forward to the Nyssa versus Talia face-off, because we really haven't seen that. We don't know a lot about their story as sisters. I want to see what's going to happen between the two of them. I mean, Nyssa is my favorite of all the female characters coming onto the show, so I can't wait to see what she does. I'm, you know, and I do like Talia, but I'm definitely hoping for Nyssa to walk away from this one.
Yeah. And we have more, as an audience, we have more of a history with Nyssa as well. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think that'll be fun. And it's so good to see her back. I love Katrina Law. I love Nyssa. So it's always fun to see her back and fighting with the team. And of course, as you've pointed out, you know, a lot of the people who are supposedly working together have a lot of, you know, animosity and or want each other dead. So that'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
Well, getting into maybe theories for the returning ones. I mentioned earlier, I was kind of theorizing we may have a Slade face off with Prometheus, as they both want to be the one to take down Oliver. You talked about the Talia and Nyssa face off. Mm-hmm. For Merlin, I'm thinking his story may come back to tie into Thea, that he will be trying to, you know, because they focus so much on his thoughts on like Oliver and Oliver's son and what parenthood and fatherhood means to Merlin, sort of is tangentially implied in a lot of his lines,
right?
That I feel like that's definitely going to come around to his relationship to Thea.
Yeah, well, and I mean, when he showed up on screen, that's all he talked about was, I'm just here to save Thea, you know, that's really all he was saying. So obviously his story is going to wrap up with that, whether he dies saving her or not. I mean, we heard in the news that he hasn't been signed on for season six. He's gone for now. They didn't say that why, but
right,
we're not getting Merlin back in the DC universe for season six or, you know, and the other shows. So what that means, I don't know. Will he die here? Yeah, who knows? But
that's my prediction.
Yeah. I feel kind of like his story, every time he's popped up, he's been kind of a little bit on the weak side. They haven't been writing very well for him every time he's come back recently. So
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to end it with a bang. I don't know.
Maybe so. I mean, I love John Barrowman, but yeah, I agree. I think Merlin has, as a character, run his course on this show.
Yeah. He was fun. He's been fun on Legends. I've really enjoyed him popping in on Legends as the part of the Legion of Doom. That's been a lot of fun. But on Arrow, his course has been run. It's run a little dry. They seem to have trouble finding anything, really cool for him to do that makes it good for us to watch. So, yeah, I hope they write him off well. If that's what's going to happen, I hope he has a heroic finish of some kind. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, getting sort of back into the hero side of things, mm-hmm. our players on our side, some of them may have their own little face-offs, and we'll jump into one that you don't watch the promotional clips.
Nope.
Okay, so I won't spoil anything, but are there any that you, without even having watched the promotional clips, may already be guessing? We'll see. Also, maybe based on my notes that are right in front of you.
Dinah versus Siren?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has to happen, obviously. It's going to be
right.
Canary versus pretend Canary, and we're right. all rooting for Dinah, of course. I mean, Curtis had that enhancement thing for her, which I thought was interesting. Why does she need to wear a piece of tech? Her power is natural, so...
Right.
That I was kind of curious about it, but he lost it. So I have a feeling Siren is going to pick it up and use it against Dinah.
Okay, I can see that.
We're not going to see, and I think we'll at that moment, we're going to see the full extent of what Dinah can do, because I have a feeling something's going to happen where it's going to pull out of her power that she didn't realize she had yet. So I think I hope so. It's going to be cool. Come on, Dinah.
Yeah, I'm curious what happens with that. So I'm with you. I'm definitely rooting for Dinah in this. I agree with your assessment that it is Canary versus pretend Canary. but it makes me wonder. Now, they've hinted that Siren will be around in season 6. Okay. Obviously, they said that as well this season. And, you know, she was only around for a couple episodes. So it doesn't necessarily mean she'll be around consistently. But it makes me wonder if this is setting up for Dinah to lose so that she'll have a vendetta against her in season 6. I don't know. Or the other way around.
So almost like they're building up them two to be nemesis with each other.
Right.
Possibly.
So that this may just be a taste of what their fighting will be and that we'll see more of it, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not really interested particularly in seeing multiple versions of this fight. I really just want to see Dinah win this one time and Siren, you know, to go get chased off. Like,
right.
Dinah's obviously superior in this fight. but if it is intended to be dragged out for whatever reason, I guess that would explain if it does happen that Siren wins by, you know, stealing Curtis's tech or whatever. So I don't know. I'm curious just this once, though, not like curious enough to want multiple versions of this in season 6.
Yeah it's interesting. I don't know what they're going to do with Katie Cassidy's character at all for next season, so
your guess is as good as mine. But we've also got Curtis to be dealt with in the finale. We've also got Renee, who we didn't see much of this episode. Lance is also, you know, there and being targeted also, you know, by Siren. Mm-hmm. Thea's there. Now Diggle and Felicity are there. You know, they've got everybody together. What are you hoping to see with the whole gang?
You mean at the end where they're tied up on their knees?
Yeah.
Well, I'm worried because we have heard that not everybody is going to make it through to the end of the season. So there they are, all lined up on their knees.
Mm-hmm.
Is Prometheus going to pull out a sword and, you know,
Slade style.
Take some heads, yeah, like or through the chest. Like what? Who and what? I'm worried. Like I am sitting at the back of my couch, kind of shaking a little.
Yeah,
because none of those characters you want to see go. Those are
right. And yeah. Who is safe? Like, who do we know it won't go?
Yeah, I. Well, Diggle.
Yeah.
Felicity.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could lose Lance as a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. God.
We ran a poll after last week on our Facebook page.
Right.
I know we said in our last broadcast that we would, and in fact we did.
And what did you come up with?
Well, I started us off with, I threw in, I think, 4 choices just based on ones that we had talked about before on the show. So I put in Lila, Evelyn, Thea, Lance, and then Curtis, I think, was added. I don't know. But the one that got the most votes on our page was Lila, followed by Evelyn, then Thea, then the option somebody added that they are somehow mysteriously not assholes and don't kill anyone for the first time. That got 2 votes, and Lance got 1 vote.
So everybody thinks most Lila votes
went to Lila. Yeah. Die. So squad members think it will be her, but is she even on the island?
No, yeah.
/ in the woods?
Well, that's hard to say because she was just on the Flash. So she's right in Central City as far as we know.
Right. So it seems like a safe place to be by comparison.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at the picture. I got a freeze frame right now, and it goes from left to right, Felicity, Diggle, Thea, Lance, Curtis. And right, there's a whole bunch of ninja-looking type guys standing around, and we know Talia is one of them. You could totally see it was her eyes behind the mask quite often, so I don't know why they're hiding her like that. I don't know what the deal is with that, but yeah, they're all chained up. I don't know. I don't know if any of those people are expendable. Thea, Lance, or Curtis would be the 3 I think could be on the line, just looking at the picture.
If it's Thea, that would definitely be a significant blow. I mean, yeah, not just to me because I like Thea, but just it's Oliver's last remaining family member. Again, other than William, I keep caveating that, but he's not a regular character, so...
Yeah. Or, I mean, we could have just a massive heroic moment where Slade and Oliver come in to save the day. They cut down all these black warriors and everybody lives out of this group that's sitting there, and it's someone that we don't expect to die that dies. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I can't wait to find out. This is what's exciting about the finale, is what's going to happen. I really don't have any theories. I'd love to hear from the squad who they think or what's going on. I mean, okay, Lila, sure, but now that we've seen this episode, what changes on their theories and their feelings?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that we have, you know, all the information that we're going to get going into the finale.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's one moment I want to bring up. I wrote a note about it I just thought was hilarious, and it was almost my favorite clip. When Oliver was heading back to the Arrow Cave, and he's walking in there, and he had his back turned, and Felicity jumps out with a gun, and she goes, "Freeze, jerkwad!" That was just priceless. I almost wanted to use that one.
I always love seeing Felicity with a gun.
Yeah.
Because the guns she chooses to use are always, like, the giant, like, automatic, whatever, I don't know gun terminology. They're just really large, you know, like, it's not just like a normal handgun, so it just like dwarfs her. It's so funny.
Another moment that made me chuckle was in the beginning when Oliver was at the office talking to Thea, and she wanted to take him out for a birthday drink, and he's like, "No, I've got plans." And she's like, "Oh, as in a date?" And he goes, "Yeah." And she goes, "As in not with Susan?"
I always love the callback to how much Thea did not like Susan.
And most of the fans, like, everybody probably cheered and laughed at that. That was pretty funny.
I feel you, Thea. I don't like her either. I'm with you.
Well, should we dive into some transmissions for the night?
We should. We got some good feedback this week.
All right, here we go. Yes, let's kick one off with an email from I'm Just Here for Felicity.
Yeah, she writes in, and she had a lot of the same comments about the nice intro to this episode. She says, aw, to Oliver, hoping it's a date with Felicity, and the Lord Mesa Bakery was a great call out to that amazing artist. Boo to the idea of putting a modulator on Dinah. I don't care what upgrades, I don't care what that upgrades for her. It's too close to what Laura was working with the Canary Cry. And if they want to introduce a modulator to use on Black Siren as a way to control her at the start of season six, that's five. At the start of season six, that's fine. But there's no need to put it on Dinah. Let her cry be untouched.
I'm so with you on that, which I started to express. So yeah, totally.
Yeah, I definitely want to comment here and say I am also with you on that. And I also, you know, you guys know I'm like the most resistant to metas on Arrow, but I do like that the fact that Dinah actually owns this cry and it's part of her is such a nice way to distinguish her from the past canaries that were just like using Cisco's tech from the Flash. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which isn't to diminish what they were doing, but you know, they were putting on a costume, putting on tech, and this is something that is innate to her. So I think that's cool. And I was hesitant about the new tech as well. So we'll see where that goes. Also, she went on to say, let's see, Curtis is the audience talking to Felicity. That's her commenting about the scene where Curtis is telling Felicity that there was so much sexual tension between her and Oliver.
That was such a great scene, actually.
It was. It was. And it was true. I mean, he's not wrong. And then she says, I'm all for having explosions in action show, but can Arrow please get more realistic in their uses? As Felicity and Diggle's car really, if they had really exploded like that, there'd be no way they'd be out of it that fast in the next shot. So, yeah. Well, superhero fantasy.
Yes.
And then she says, they can show Laurel talking Oliver down all they want. And she's referencing the flashbacks in the vision. But I personally can't buy he loved her like that. If he slept with Sarah and he was never in any real hurry to get back to her like they suggested, given they show him doing everything but going back to her after he left the island the first time. So, yeah, that's, you know, it's harsh but true, I guess.
It is, and I think they have such a strong connection and bond, but I think it was a deep friendship that they tried to turn into a relationship, which just ultimately didn't work, obviously, because of him being with Sarah and all that. So yeah, I totally agree with you. I see it as just a very deep friendship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she says, hopefully William is with Dinah and Renee, as everyone else is in another location. So if they kill team bad, somebody needs to know where he is. Overall, a good episode.
Yeah.
If they killed the bad guys, somebody needs to know where William is, was her point there.
Good thoughts there. I'm just here for Felicity. Thanks for that. All right. What is next up?
Well, we got a voicemail from our own Miss Destiny Dazzler.
Yes, we do. Here she is.
Hi, Rose Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. So I really loved this week's episode. It was amazing to see everybody back. I think the most surprising one for me was Slade. I definitely didn't expect to see him back again. Team Arrow needs to not have any more parties of any kind, because every time they do, something goes horribly wrong. I'm super excited for the finale next week and the showdown. I can't wait to see how this all like ends for the season. I think it's going to be really exciting. It's the most exciting finale of Arrow for a while for me. I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.
So with you, Dazzler. It's so exciting. Yeah. I could hear it in your voice how excited you are. I'm right there with you. This has been the best lead up to a finale we've had in a few seasons. So this is awesome.
Yeah, and it's such an important finale too, as it's the end of that 5 year on the island, five years of flashbacks.
Oh yeah,
arc. Yeah, that's cool. A lot of fun.
Well, thanks for sending that in again. It's always great to hear from you. Next, we got an email from Stormy, and I'll take this one.
Yeah,
she says, "I really like this week's episode. Of course, all the lovely Elicity moments were fantastic. I'm glad they're back together, but taking things slowly." Just what I said. The party was really nice, and it was fun to see the gang get to relax. Malcolm's speech to Oliver after Felicity and Dig were kidnapped made sense. I actually agree with him. Huh. Okay. And Nyssa being back is awesome, but I need them to stop with the husband stuff about Oliver. The quote-unquote marriage of a gay woman to a straight man forced by her homophobic father is just not funny. I guess when you put it like that, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I guess it's, I
found that odd as well, that they're still referencing that. That wasn't a legal marriage. That was a forced League of Assassins ceremony.
I guess Nyssa's just being real snarky, which is okay by me, but yeah, maybe that's something they have to finish off.
Yeah.
Anyway, she continues, "While I'm not invested in William because we don't know him, I hope he doesn't die for Oliver's sake." Yeah, exactly. I think everybody's feeling that way.
Yeah.
"Thea being there with Lance and getting to tell him, 'Don't believe Black Siren,' made me happy. It's so gross to go after Quentin knowing you look like his dead daughter. I don't believe a word out of Black Siren's mouth, but I'm excited for Dinah to kick her butt." Oh, that was awesome, Stormy. "Chase is the latest villain to single Felicity out. They all know how important she is to Oliver. Chase saying Miss Smoke creeped me out. Josh is doing an amazing job this season. Can't wait for the finale." Yeah, that was a little bit creepy the way he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the more chillsy lines.
Yeah. Cool. That was funny. Thanks, Stormy.
Yes, so many good thoughts.
And our last one we've got from Christy.
Yes, and Christy says, "I'm not sure I've seen any villain taunt Oliver the way Chase has, especially since he could theoretically be powerless from being in prison. Chase was even able to predict exactly how Oliver would react and split the team up. I know this is minor, but how did Diggle manage to flip the car over?" This is the same comment that we got from, I think we got that from, I'm Just Here for Felicity, commented on their use of car crashes. And it didn't seem like he hit anything except maybe the ninja's sword. The scene between Oliver and Chase before he got on the helicopter was heartbreaking. Even though we haven't really seen much of William, hearing Oliver say, "That's my boy," was really touching. And hearing that "Hello, kid" from Slade brings back so many memories. And I can't wait to see the epic showdown next week. Also, it's poetic that this battle will take place where Oliver's journey began. So seems Christy also thinks that it is on the island.
Cool. I'm glad to hear your theories. Just to answer your scene, I just happen to have it on screen, how Oliver how Diggle flipped the car. They drove to run down what looked like Talia, and they swerved just at the last second, and she cut the whole side of the car with her sword. He ran through some construction warning signs, hit a pile of dirt. The car flew into the back of a semi-truck and then flipped over after it hit the truck.
That's a lot.
So that's
wild.
Yeah. So that's what happened in that sequence. Cool. Well, thanks.
That's a lot to go through. Our characters are quite beat up.
They are. Definitely. But thank you, Christy, for sending that in. It's nice to hear. I guess some people are going to be touched by Oliver connecting to his kids. So
yeah,
hopefully something does come of that we can all feel the same way.
Hope so.
Well, thank you, everybody, for that fantastic feedback, as always. I personally want to say, like, really deep felt thank you to our squad members. Since me and Cammy have taken over the show, you guys have really, really stepped it up and been sending in consistent feedback, some really wonderful thoughts, and I mean, just nice things you've been saying to us and about us as well. And we totally appreciate it, guys. I want to make sure you all know that it's one of the best parts of doing this, is getting to hear from you guys, and it's very personal, and you're talking to us. I love it. So thank you.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts is going through and reading all of the feedback that you guys send in, reading your thoughts, hearing your thoughts on, you know, in the Facebook group or things you tweet to me. I was chuckling. One of the tweets that we got this week was from somebody named Nikki, who was sort of summarizing what was happening in this week's episode. And she said, let me pull this up. She said, everyone gets kidnapped by an imprisoned man who's apparently an all-knowing wizard. And that just made me laugh. Hearing your guys' response, your summaries, your interpretations always just legitimately make me smile. So I appreciate that.
Right. Yeah. No, totally, guys. So we hope to have you all around for the finale.
Yeah.
And come back next season, of course. But we'll talk about that later. We got one more exciting, fantastic episode. I'm sure it's going to be. I'm with all our feedbackers. I can't wait. Oh my God, yeah. I can't wait. This is exciting. We've got a lot to deal with. We've got Slade back. We've got Nyssa back. That's
teen villain, am I right?
Yeah. Holy cow. We almost need like an offshoot sideshow just revolving around, you know, those guys. Let's have a different story every week about Slade and about Nyssa and about maybe even Merlin. I don't know.
A villain spinoff. I would be so on board with that.
Of course, you know, Manu Bennett has to go back to what's that fantasy show he's a swordsman on right now?
The Shannara Chronicles.
Shannara Chronicles, that's right. So he'll have to return to that. So we're probably going to get a little glimpse of him. But anyway, so good to have him back. Well, Cammy, 7 more days.
Can you believe it?
And it's all over for us for a little while. Yeah. I can believe it. Don't want to, but you know what? It's going to be fun.
Yeah. 7 more days of theorizing. Or I guess it's like 6 more days at this point.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
All right. Arrow Squad. Remember to get in touch with us. ArrowSquad.com is where you can find all the connection info. You guys can connect to us personally on Facebook or Twitter, wherever you want. I'm at CyberTiger17 on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And just talk to me.
At Cammy and Ray on everything ever.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Thanks once again. We'll talk to you in a week. This is The Flash, signing off.
And this is Cammy. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.